Oh, hi.
Okay. Oh,
Hello.
hey. Hi, how are you?
Welcome on in, everybody. Settle up, settle up, settle in.
Settle.
Not up, not that.
Down, and it's up, and it's up, and it's
We're
up,
settling
and it's
somewhere.
up.
We're settling. You can do whatever the fuck you want. Because you know what? This is Just Giving Things podcast, and we can do all the things, including bringing an all-queer perspective on video games, gaming news, and nerdy stuff every Saturday, live on twitch.tv/justgivingtings at 2 p.m.
We sure
Eastern
do.
time. Ooh, here we
Yeah.
are.
Ooh, we're here. Oh
Ooh,
my God.
we're clowns.
What is this? Clownery in the
It's time
stream.
for clowning.
It's done. Bye.
We did it. Bye, everyone. Thanks. No, just kidding. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Ruby. My pronouns are they, them. And but we also have Jam. Hello.
Hi,
Welcome
I love you
back.
guys. I'm here 2 weeks in a row. I think my life is getting back on track, y'all.
Can we just acknowledge how cute Jam is today? You're so cute.
Yes,
adorable, honestly.
truly. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I
We
love
just
you
gotta we just gotta take a
guys.
moment. In our first set story today, Jam is cute. Let's talk about
Reminder, Jam is a
No lies
cutie.
detected.
God, my ego, everyone.
It's what you deserve. It's what you deserve. Another cutie detected. Koga, hi.
Hi,
Hello.
cutie.
Hello. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Of
Such a
course,
cutie.
the
You're so
truth must
special.
be told on this day. We say nothing but the truth. You know what I
No
mean?
lies detected, ever.
Absolutely. Also, another cutie detected, just hydrating and having a time, a good old time. We have Spin. Hello.
Oh, hi. Hello.
We love it here.
The legend, the icon.
I decided to break out the purple blush because I had to do makeup so that I wouldn't fall asleep from chronic fatigue. Hello, here we are.
Not
Well,
that, not chronic
you
fatigue.
gotta do what you
But the
gotta
makeup looks
do to
amazing.
stay
The
awake
makeup looks
and
amazing.
I mean, the antidote to sleepiness is a big pink drag eyeshadow all the way up to like your eyebrow line. That's exactly what it is.
Yes.
Noted.
Yes.
Love
Noted.
that. Love that. Beauty and health advice here on Just Giving Things. Love that. Love that. Last but not least, a super cutie, super special guest. Hi, Pants.
Hello. Hello,
Please do
hello,
introduce
hello.
yourself.
Yes, my name is Pants Trebian. You could just call me Pants, or you could call me Mel. Either one works. My pronouns are she, they, and for the people who are watching, I'm a VTuber, so I'm just out here with my little virtual model and my little virtual living room, having a time of my life here with all these cuties.
Yes, icon. Thank you so much for joining us
Yes,
today.
thanks for joining
Thanks
us.
for having me.
We really, really appreciate you being here, everyone. We have a full-on show for y'all. We have so many stories. We're gonna be starting with our first story, which is Sony and Discord being in cahoots. So who wants to talk about that?
I just so, when I saw this, because you know how like before this story came out, there was like rumblings and speculations that like Microsoft was gonna buy Discord, and like everybody was like freaking out for some reason, and and it was just like what? And then that got called off, and we were like, okay, so nothing's gonna happen with Discord right now. Turns out, here we go.
Plot twist.
So Sony has a minority stake in Discord now.
Well,
yeah, it's
well,
wild.
Sony were the ones sliding onto those DMs.
right. Love that. Love that.
What does
But
this
yeah.
mean, like, realistically, right? So, like, what is the point of Sony and Discord having a little moment?
I think it's kind of like, oh, go ahead, Jim.
I don't know. I think like I'm since I don't play on PlayStation that much, I don't know how their like first party voice chat works. Like Microsoft's first party voice chat is decently good. So it was a little interesting that they were trying to buy in. So I wonder if it's just Sony attempting to get a better hold of their like voice chat work and get it more improved. And since they're trying to do crossplay with PC more, that's going to help them a lot with people who play multiplayer games with PC players, because people are using that anyways when they can't play with people who aren't on the same like console or PC. So I wonder, what does everyone else think?
I have no idea what the whole point, I don't even, like, the first thing is, like, I don't understand why people were being, like, why people were so concerned about Microsoft and Discord to begin with, because, like, Discord is always, like, partnering up with people, they're always, like, doing stuff, so, and obviously Discord is heavily associated with gaming, so it makes perfect sense that they would partner up with any of the companies. It's kind of, well, it's not surprising to me, but it would be, to me, it would make more sense if they partnered up with Nintendo, seeing as they don't have like an actual, you know, like a lot of people have to go outside of the Nintendo, you know, operating system to do any like voice chatting or anything of the sort. But on the good side is like you can play anything on the Switch and not get hate crimed. So, you know, maybe not having voice chat is a good option sometimes, but I like, you know, I don't mind this. I think that it's only going to make, you know, the Sony multiplayer experience better. And so, yeah, good on them for striking that good old deal. I ship it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think a better system on the console is the big thing. Because I think, the issue that they have always had. Because Microsoft's like multiplayer online gaming system has been very good for a long time. Like that's why Xbox Live has always been, people have been willing to pay for it, because it's always been very robust and kind of, and then their in-game chat stuff is pretty easy to set up. Like on my Xbox, I can easily just click a few names, make a party and chat with people that I want to talk to and play a game together super easy if they're in my friends list. So I don't know how easy that is on PlayStation, but if this helps and improves that, I think it can only be good for gamers on the PlayStation side.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not currently on PlayStation, so I'm not exactly sure how their, you know, stuff for chatting and whatnot works. So I'm not sure how this would help. But I mean, if it helps and makes it better for people, that's fine. Though I've definitely noticed that people ain't as upset about it with it being Sony than Microsoft. I've noticed that. You haters.
But I think Microsoft was trying to buy them outright, though, I think was the big thing.
Yeah.
I think that was like the big difference.
Yeah, so Microsoft was trying to buy the whole company, whereas I think Sony just bought a stake so that they could integrate it into their software.
Yeah, they have a minority stake. People were upset.
I want some steak now. Oh my god.
I do have to add, I haven't tried much of the PlayStation voice because, like, I'm always playing by myself, so I'm like, I don't need a voice. I've tried it like very briefly before, but I know from like experience and like also my friends who mainly only play on console, especially PlayStation, that everybody normally just defaults to Discord still for voice.
Yeah.
And I know the few times that I've tried it, it's like a little wonky still sometimes, so it's not like great. It's there, it kind of works, but it's just easier just to go on to Discord anyway. And I'm kind of interested to see like if this will also let people like stream the games through Discord too. It seems like that's gonna also kind of happen, but I'm not too quite sure on the details. And that also helps because I feel like a lot of people are like, where can I default to for, you know, I just want to share the gaming experience to my friends, but like maybe they're not on PlayStation, so it would be easier for them to just kind of go through there than maybe even like Twitch if they're just like, I don't want to, you know, put myself out there on Twitch.
Right. I think it could be you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I immediately, like, when I heard this, I also thought of, like, PS4 and PS5 only streamers. So, like, people that are streaming, like, direct from, like, PS4 and PS5.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do, like, a multiplayer game with somebody and you want to have, like, the people that you're playing with on voice chat and be audible on your stream, like, this is going to, like, completely change the game for that, for them, you know?
True.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Okay. Yeah, I just, yeah. That was, like, immediately what I thought of. I was like, oh, wow, that's actually going to be really cool for that.
Right? Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
any closing thoughts before we move on to another gaming behemoth?
I think those are all my thoughts. If any of y'all have thoughts.
I think I'm good.
I don't have any more.
Lovely. Yeah. You know, from one behemoth to another, Nintendo has announced a game builder garage. It was like kind of like a ghost announcement. Like, they didn't really make a big deal about it or anything. But Nintendo said, have you ever dreamed of building your own video games? The Game Builder Garage software is a great place to start. Not sponsored. But no, the idea is like they're going to be teaching the basics of game design and programming and through this game / software where you'll be able to make, you know, 2D games, 3D games, top-down. Seems like different genres of games, too. So the reason I wanted to bring this up is because we always talk about accessibility. And so for people who may want to get into game dev, then this is potentially a fun opportunity for them to, you know, to dip their toesies in it and see if they're into it, if they're not into it. And of course, it's not, you know, I would assume this is not going to be like, oh, a 1-for-1 ratio on how to actually make a game. But I think it's nice that Nintendo has their own dreams, if you will, where people can kind of get into, like, making their own game and doing their own thing and getting into that, especially, like, people who are younger and they may not know what path they want to take in life and stuff like that. So this could be, like, a fun opportunity for them, like RPG Maker and, like, you know, even the Mario Maker series, too. So, like, this is definitely a cute little moment, I felt, that Nintendo brought to the table to be like, hey, not Nintendo, gaming doesn't have to be gatekeeped for people. Everyone can get into it. So I'm very interested to see how accessible the game is. Any, like, price points or anything of the sort. Apparently, it's supposed to be $29.99, so it's not too bad. But yeah, what do y'all think? Is this interesting to y'all about, like, potentially making games?
Yes, I love this so much because I know that there's just, like, a couple of my cousins who are, like, really that are very young, want to, you know, make their own games, and it's, like, perfect for them, especially, like, even as just, like, the building blocks and the starting point of just, like, learning the very basics of everything. And I love that because it doesn't seem like, I'm sure, like, eventually they'll add more things and maybe it will become, like you said, dreams, because that's what I was thinking of, is, like, how much of, like, dreams is it going to be? Like, where can we, like, play other people's games? Is it going to be, like, you know, very expansive, or are they going to add more things probably eventually? And it's kind of just going to be, like, here's kind of the very, like, bare bones right now. But eventually they'll probably, like, keep building on it. And I really see a lot of potential because, like, there's so much younger generation who love games, who want to get into coding. And, like, having that accessibility, like you said, of them being able to do that on their Switch, too, and learn. Like, I know there's a few on, like, mobile. Like, you can try to learn from there. And I just love that, you know, Nintendo's taking this step for, you know, kids and even, like, you know, adults, everybody, really, to just even, mm-hmm. like, make their own games and learn, like, very basic coding, too.
Right.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I'm pretty excited about this. I think that it's interesting, and it's taking what I think has been so successful with Mario Maker and expanding that, right? And I think Mario Maker was a good step in this direction, and Mario Maker 2 took all the things that they saw wrong with Mario Maker 1, made it better. And now this is saying, okay, now let's give you a little bit more freedom, and you can kind of build any kind of game, you know, 2D, top-down, shooter, you know, fighter. And it's kind of, it's great. It's really great. And the price point seems right. Like really good and really accessible for people to get into very easily. So I'm excited to see where this goes. Like, I'm probably going to get it.
Yeah, it seems super interesting too, especially the aspect of like a step-by-step tutorial rather than you having to watch a guide or having to go on YouTube or having to read a booklet or whatever. Like, I think it makes it so accessible, especially from the little trailer that I've seen. It seems like it's very like intuitive, and it's also very, you know, colorful, and it makes coding, programming more like fun, and it doesn't really, you know, portray it as necessarily a thing that's like boring. It looks more like, hey, do you want to make this? Cool, here's the first step. Okay, now do that, and this thing now does that. So I think that could be really cute, especially for like a creative moment, for sure. But yeah, I remember like growing up and being like, oh my god, I want to like work in games, but then I was like, oh no, math. Oh no, coding. Oh no. And so I can see this being like a fun moment where maybe people can dabble into it and see what part of game dev is their favorite. Because like, there are game devs who don't do any coding. Like, you can fall in love with like the narrative part of it or the visual design or literally anything. So I think this could be really cute, especially since, like y'all said, there's so many kids, teenagers that look at YouTube and Twitch and stuff, and they want to be a part of gaming. They want to do it. They see it as a possible career, and they want to go for it. So I think this is really cute.
Yeah, I mean, if I had a Switch, I definitely would look into it, because it does look very interesting. Like, I was watching the trailer, and I thought it was great how you could just, like, there was just so many possibilities for people, which is me, even if I don't have a Switch again at the time, it's going to be fun to watch, you know, what people come up with and things like that, and hopefully that, you know, help them with, you know, their content creation, and maybe for some, you know, help them, you know, get an idea how these things work, maybe get their help, you know, go down that path. That's what they want to go to. But it definitely feel like it was just like, okay, like, we've had games in the past that was like similar to that, you know, like Super Mario Maker and like, I think, was it RPG Maker or something like that?
Yeah,
and just things of that nature. So with this one, what I just saw, like, how, like, it was a trailer, and they were just showing like clips, and it was just completely different game. So it's definitely something that I would want to take a look at. I'm not sure how much creating I'll be doing, but if I had it, I'd be at least playing. And if I don't have a Switch at the time, probably at least watching. It was very definitely one of the more interesting things I've seen in a while. And it's good to see that Nintendo's putting that on. And was it supposed to be $30, or was it the full on $60 because Nintendo?
It was $29.99.
I think, okay. Yeah, I think that's the supposed price point. I haven't seen it in the eShop or anything, but I think it's $29.99, which is pretty good for Nintendo too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've seen. It's like, that's a good price for Nintendo for sure, because they love that $60 price tag.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it'll never depreciate at all.
Right.
$2 forever. I was really excited about this because, like, y'all know I'm a little Big Planet stan, and like, I loved like the new Sackboy game, but I missed creating levels so much, and I feel like this kind of like fills that void for me. And it's on the Switch, and I love my Switch, and I love the portability of it, and I'm just like, I'm probably gonna get this. Yeah. I feel like it's like a perfect kind of logical leap from Mario Maker to be like, hey, let's let them make whatever. I'm really hoping that like you can play other people's games in this, right, too, because I definitely want to check out what other people make, because like, especially in Little Big Planet, I know like people are still making levels for Little Big Planet like 1 and 2. Yeah. And like, just so creative and so cool, and like it's really interesting to see like the different things that people do with the tools that the game gives them. So in something like this where there's like even more freedom, I want to see that. I want to see other people's creativity, and I want to build stuff.
Yeah, I think the cool thing as well is like you get to be a one person dev team, because like,
yeah,
if you're not an artist, they have, you know, assets for you to use. If you're not a musician, they have, you know, assets with that too. So it's really cool to just have like a pool of assets, and then you can just like focus on whatever part of it you're more excited for. And I think too, I think this is probably gonna be an opportunity for there to not be as much like cursed / inappropriate content. And I say that because it's on Nintendo, so I feel like there's a family friendly side to it that is gonna make it that parents are not gonna be afraid of their kids like playing a game or trying to make a game and, you know, having to teach them about all these things, or being worried about even like if you're allowed to play other people's creations, like, well, what kind of creations are they gonna run into and stuff like that. So really, really neat, actually. Really, really neat. But
if you want to actually get more into the topic of cursed games,
oh, no.
There is another story about that this week.
Segways.
So it's been going on for a while that Apple and Epic are in this like big legal battle about the Epic Game Store being available like on iOS and making like a competing store on the Apple. So as part of the trial, one of the things that Apple's lawyers brought up was the fact that you can access itch.io through Epic. So like it's not necessarily like every game on itch.io is like an Epic game, but like you can get there through Epic.
Yeah.
So and like the way that they worded this was kind of funny to me, because it's like there's all of these games on itch.io that are so offensive and sexualized, I dare not speak them in court. Like,
the drama.
It was very dramatic.
Drama.
And I loved itch.io's response to this on Twitter. Their tweet after this was, "Guys, Apple's lawyers just called. They said we need to turn off all the games. Games are now illegal."
Ah!
I love that.
Like,
I love that.
I don't know why Apple is going to lose. I think, like, they're going to lose this battle, I think. And the writing is starting to look more and more like it's on the wall that they're going to lose. Like, between Microsoft upping the share of the revenue that they give to developers, uh-huh, to like, you're going against Epic, right? Who already, like, you know, strong-armed Sony into things at one point with Fortnite. Like, all of, like, this is the wrong, I think this might be the wrong fight, mm-hmm, to try to have. It's very interesting.
I feel like we reached that point in the trials where they're reaching. I feel like someone from...
Yeah, this is kind of a reach.
Someone from Epic's side, one of the lawyers, I hope at least one of them said, "She's reaching, Your Honor," because that is exactly what's going on here. That's exactly what's going on here. Someone I know got, like, the latest iPhone, and, like, just like a random little side story, like it doesn't even come with like the charger. Like, it comes with the little cable you can plug into like a computer, but it doesn't come with like the thing for you to plug into the like a plug wall or whatever. But it's like, I mean, I guess it's like if you can afford an iPhone, you can afford like the $20 accessory or whatever. But like, that's not very consumer friendly. Like, I feel like they're going down that road of like not backing down on like taking whatever amount they want to take from devs and stuff like that, or literally anyone in the Apple store. They're not backing down from like their questionable user decisions as far as like customers and stuff like that. So I'm not like concerned about them. I don't think they're gonna go bankrupt anytime soon. But I do think that as far as like a consumer goes, I feel like Epic is winning as far as reputation, and people are, I feel like a lot of people also don't understand how big of a company Epic is, and they're like, oh my god, Apple is trying to screw up the small guys, but that's not really the case. But regardless, that's how it looks. So like Apple is literally the only one losing, you know, like credibility, not credibility, but like, you know, as far as reputation, they're definitely being side-eyed, I feel, by a lot of people.
Right. This does seem like kind of a reach, because it's like, yeah, people can play like adult games through itch.io on Epic, but like, are you gonna stop like putting web browsers on your phones because people can access porn websites
Through
them? Like, that does not make any sense
to me. Or like explicit songs? Are you not gonna have them anymore on iTunes?
Or movies?
Right.
Yeah, because you're still selling R-rated movies on your iMovies or whatever. It's such a, like, Apple is literally grasping for straws because they're coming, like, people are coming at them and, like, from this game perspective. But, like, they even got Spotify, who is also another big company, who's coming at them and was basically like, okay, you want 30% of our revenue, but then you also turn around and made a competing app with us, right? So that you then get all the money. So, like, really, what are you doing? You're trying to say that, oh, like, we provide you with users, but really you just want to take our users. So why should I pay you for you to then poach my users and get all of the money? And so they're getting attacked from every which way now. And I don't think, I think that's the writing on the wall for them, at least in terms of this space, like this digital selling space is not, I don't think it's going to work out for them the way that they thought it would. But it's their only revenue source, because like you said, like I have one of the newest iPhones and it did not come with the charging brick. I was like, really? This phone costs way too much to not have a charging brick in the case, right, in the box.
You're spending way too much for like then an additional 20 or more. Just like, exactly. No, thank you. How, especially like, what if, I don't know, I guess it's like if you just order it ahead of time, but like most people probably are just like ordering it, not ordering accessories too. Yeah. And then it's like you're gonna get the phone and then you're like, wait a minute, I can't do anything with it now. Like I can't charge it if it dies. So now you have to like run around and like go get a charger, which is like, we are, you know, in this situation. It is not great. So now you have to wait a couple days or anything just to order it. But I'll just say, this is why I don't use Apple anymore. I don't use Apple products. They have just, you know, clearly, like, their greed is just really showing. And, like, this is just another showcase of it. And they're just trying to be, like, I don't know. Especially when it comes, like, to attacking games specifically, how we were talking about, like, oh, like, they have R-rated movies, and, like, you can obviously get to R-rated things, and right, very explicit things, easily. It's just like, oh, because it's gaming, it's kind of just like, oh, no, like, gaming should be for kids, right? And I don't, well, it's just always, like, such a situation that's, like, really interesting when it comes to, like, oh, my God, explicit games, it's like, yeah, there's explicit anything.
Right.
But why does it have to be this is now the one that you want to attack? And you're clear, like we said, clearly losing. Like, you have to. There's nothing really, I guess, kind of redeemable, I guess might be my word that I'm looking for. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's nothing really, like, saving them in this argument, really.
Yeah, I think greed is the right word for sure, as far as like the mobile audience is so huge already. They could have just literally been like, you know what, let's take slightly less of a cut and please the gaming partners that we have, because our audience isn't going to go anywhere. If anything, this is going to show them that we're the good guy and that we're negotiating with people, so it's going to look good on us, and therefore they would make more money. But instead, they're trying to be like, oh no, just, you know, subscribe to our Apple Apple Arcade moment, where, you know, you can trust all the games that we put on there, which is like cute. You can still do that. Like, Google has their own thing too, where they're like, they have their own subscription service, and it's like, but I don't know. I just feel like they're just being too greedy, as far as like, we want our own things and also everyone else's 30% of what they what they make. And yeah, it's a lot. And I think that even making it 25%, I feel for some cases would be like better, and it would have been enough, and they would have still made millions. So.
Oh yeah,
Apple, please.
they're not hurt for money. Absolutely not.
Right.
No, it's just they just want to be in control of yeah. everything in their products, and they've been that way. That's why I've never wanted to buy their products. The only thing mm-hmm. I have is like movies, and that's only because it's on Movies Anywhere, which is like there's a few movies to where if you buy it there, it goes to multiple platforms, like iPhones, Vudu. Microsoft, YouTube, whatever. So otherwise, I don't buy anything off their platforms, because it's just they just want to do that all the time, and now you have Epic coming in, and they want, you know, to do their thing, and Apple's just clearly losing that, and they give like a real bogus reason. I mean, I don't know, maybe they're hoping that people, I guess the judges who don't pay attention on this will like fall for that silly stuff, which, I mean, to be completely honest, considering how many times I've seen issues with gaming over the years, I wouldn't be surprised if someone believed that nonsense. I mean, honestly, so I can't blame them for attempting it, but it's like, no, y'all are gonna probably lose this one. And like, Epic is no small company. I'm like, they make the Unreal Engine that a lot
most people use.
Right.
Yeah. I love how Itch.io is handling this, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
I love them.
Iconic.
Like, there's that tweet about turning off all the games. And then they're also renaming their sensitive content filter to be titled Unspeakable Games.
Ah, I love them so much.
Yes. Please.
Iconic behavior
spotted, truly. I just thought that was so funny. They're just like, we have these unspeakable games. There's a category for them.
Oh my gosh.
To peruse all the unspeakable games you want. That just made hilarious. Me so happy.
Oh, they're so good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, y'all. Oh, that's so good. Well, speaking of Epic and their interactions with other big companies.
Ooh.
So Sony and their hatred of crossplay, which we all know.
Yeah.
basically, it's been revealed that the whole time Sony just didn't want crossplay to happen and said no. And Epic is the only reason that it happened. They basically forced them and said, Fortnite is the biggest game on your system, and if you don't let us have crossplay, your system will tank. And we saw what happened. People were pissed.
Angry.
Wild. And like the fact that more games have been able to get it, yet it's still relatively limited on PlayStation, is interesting. But there's like basically a story where back like in 2018 when Sony blocked Fortnite, Epic basically sent them a letter saying, we love to work with you and we want this to be a win-win, but as this continues to go on, we only see a scenario where we get what we want and you don't.
Ooh.
And I was like, whale.
That's a power move. But like, it's one that Epic can do, because like, I mean, it's they Fortnite.
I can't blame them, because here's the thing, like, Sony literally blocked crossplay for Rocket League and Minecraft, two of the biggest games at the time. Mm-hmm. And then Fortnite came along and literally was so big and had introduced crossplay on other platforms already, for you to then turn around and say, we're not going to let people play this. I'm like, your player base does want to play with other people as much as you think they only want to play with people on PlayStation.
Yep.
They have friends who play on other platforms. And you thinking that this isn't going to work for you. So they were able to push Sony. This is why I mentioned earlier, like Epic has the ability to push big companies to do what they want. And so this is very reminiscent of what's happening right now with Apple.
Right.
So what do you guys think about this?
To me, I mean, I've always been more for crossplay because I don't feel like this should be something that we have to argue about. And I was hoping that Sony over the years, you know, become more with it, but they still can't stand it. It's not, and that's not even the only issue. In the same article, it's mentioned like how pretty much, and they're the only ones who do this, mind you, is that the developers, like both publishers, also have to pay for this. So there's like
to a be able to be cross-play.
Yeah. It's a cross-platform revenue share, and this is just an example. Let's say the cross-platform revenue is $1 million. The PlayStation Network revenue would be $900,000. Then the PlayStation revenue share is 90%. Oh my God, this math, I'm sorry. The PlayStation 4 gameplay share is 95%. So since because they made that much, you know, 90%, they won't have to pay as much. But let's say the next month. Yeah, not the entire time, the next month. Let's say the PlayStation Network revenue share is $600,000 a month out when it out of the $1 million. That means that for that month, the company has to pay $52,500. No one does this. Nintendo and Microsoft does not do this. And this came out. I don't even know how this even came out during the whole issue with Epic and Apple. But it's kind of like, on top of them just being so against it, you actually charged for this? Like, what? Why? this is like downright garbage. Because like we're playing the exact same game. Your platform is not that much different. They'll try to give you a whole bunch of technical stuff, but let's just be real. PlayStation and Xbox ain't that different. It hasn't been for like a long time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we're playing the same game. Why can't we play, you know, together with other people? There's no reason for that not to be. Now they do feel that because of this, when crossplay is a thing, there'll be less people buying on their platform. I mean, a little bit, because usually people will always usually get PlayStation because that's where their friends are. So if you're someone like me, and let's say I have all of them, I would more than likely get the Xbox Series X version because I know it'll more than likely have better performance, better resolution, et cetera, et cetera. But if I was a person who's like, okay, but all my friends are on PlayStation, well, then you got to go over there. So Microsoft looked, oh my goodness, Sony looked at this like that's kind of a loss. So that's why they wanted the companies to pay for it. This is why I can't stand Sony sometimes. I'm just being honest. I really can't.
It's wild. Honestly. Like, I just don't understand. I don't get it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, like,
I'm sorry.
It's disappointing, but not surprising.
Yeah.
That's basically all I thought. Right. It's like, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
That was all basically all I thought about it. You go ahead, Pants. Sorry.
I know, I'm not like gonna be like, I love Sony, but like as somebody who's just been like avid on Sony's products a lot, it's just like over the years they've kind of always just like, you know, thrown us kind of under the bus a lot. We've always kind of just like, just even the fan base itself, it's always just kind of been like, you know, I feel like they don't look at sometimes their viewer bit, like the players that actually use their software. They're just like, you know what we think? And it's like, no. As we've seen for like many of the things, especially this year, besides this, of course, like the Vita store and the PlayStation 3 store, like all the PSN stores, you know, like they at least finally listen to people. But it's just like, it's been really, really annoying to just kind of be like, oh, there's like clearly things that I want to do with other people on different platforms, and thankfully I have like a PC for like some of that.
Yeah.
But there's still like, there's friends on PlayStation who are like, you know, stuck in this, and I can't be like, You know, sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to play on my PlayStation. Maybe sometimes I want to play on like this platform, which I think is really nice about cross-platform and everything. It's just like, oh, if I want to play on this, then I can still like be able to play with my friends in a way for like most games that I play. And then it's like, instead, now I have to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I would love to play with you, but there's been so many times where it's like, I would love to play with you, but I don't feel like, you know, maybe buying the game again or anything. Yeah. So I just wish Sony would actually like, you know, listen to people. And I'm glad, like, at least Epic, like you said, is just like, they got the power, but I'm hoping like, you know, with other companies and everything, it's just like, why are you having them pay for that? Like, it shouldn't be that option. It should just be like, let them do their thing, let it be open, you know, and then let people play with others. Because like, people are gonna still want to play on their PlayStation with other people. Yeah. And that's fine. You're not gonna lose a lot of people because you let it, you know, you like leave it open. Right.
Yeah.
I think at this point, people, I am a person who's probably not going to go buy a PlayStation, mainly because I am used to playing on Xbox, but I have friends who play on PlayStation, and there are certain games that I would like to play with them. And if a game comes out and then you're like, this is a new game, so it costs a little too much for us to be able to do that, so we can't do cross-platform because Sony wants to charge us. It's like, okay, unless they specifically play on PC or Switch, or, you know, I'm like, you can even play like certain games cross play with mobile at this point. Mm-hmm. And Sony is still doing this thing of like forcing people to pay to play, basically, and it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that was gonna be my main thing, is like, people are still gonna get like PlayStation, and people are still gonna invest in games in that platform, and it oftentimes I feel like the lack of crossplay almost punishes someone for picking PlayStation over another platform, right? Because like, mm-hmm. how many people, when Fall Guys came out, they were like, oh, I have my little PlayStation, let me download, and then they couldn't play with their friends because they were over on PC. You know what I mean? Like, that feels like you're getting punished for choosing PlayStation. So then, yeah, maybe down the line, maybe the next game that comes out, they're not going to choose PlayStation. I feel like that would be my train of thought of like, yeah, I mean, if you're not going to allow them to play with their friends now, next time there's a multiplayer game, they're going to buy it on PC. And how many of us have done that, right? Where like, it doesn't matter which platform, right? But how many of us have been like, oh, let me get this game on PC just in case there's no cross-platform anytime soon. Because a lot of the times they're like, there's going to be cross-platform at some point, but you never know when or how many months or years or if the game is still going to be popular or if you even going to play this game in by then. So that's kind of a thing as well. Like, honestly, just like Sony or literally any of the platforms has the power to kind of negotiate something and be like, okay, we can have cross-play, but in order to get people over here, how about, you know, there's like a skin from one of our exclusive properties, right? And for example, if you want to play Fall Guys on Xbox, if they had a little Halo skin, then people would be interested in getting that. Or if you, you know, with Among Us, they got the Ratchet and Clank, you know, aesthetics for the characters. And it's like, if the game is cross-platform, which I think it's going to be, like, You're not punishing people. If anything, you're giving them incentive to choose PlayStation by being like, hey, we have a cute outfit. So just like work on that side of things rather than being like, oh no, you just got to pay us more or whatever. Like, no, like strike a balanced deal of like, yeah, if you're going to have your game over here, we also need to have something like either, you know, on PlayStation Plus or Game Pass or like any deal that makes sense for both parties for it to be a win-win situation. But yeah, the lack of crossplay is very anti-consumer and it's not great. No matter how you look at it, it's not great because, yeah, people just want to play games however and whenever they want, y'all. Like, they don't... You know, if they love your platform, they're going to get games on your platform. But if they have other choices, let them have other choices. You know, imagine that, not having a monopoly. Imagine that, having, you know,
imagine
a healthy marketplace. Imagine that.
Imagine, you
know,
honestly.
We don't know her.
Not... Oh my god.
Not in corporate
America.
I was
just like actually thinking about this while we were talking about it. Because, like, I feel like not having crossplay, like, directly affects the user experience in games, like, especially, I was, like, I'm thinking about Fortnite as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if you have that crossplay, then your lobbies are going to fill way faster because you're pulling people from all the platforms.
Yeah.
So why would you not want to give people a better user experience on your platform? Like, how is that incentivizing you to play on PlayStation? It's like, oh, if I get this on PlayStation, I can't play with my friends and my load times are longer because, like, it takes longer for them to fill lobbies. Like, I'm not going to get it on PlayStation then. Like, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Like,
yeah.
I mean, when it comes to them, they just probably don't care as much. And PlayStation, unfortunately, gets the most of the player base, which, like, for especially when it comes to, like, almost anything, but, like, fighting games is a perfect example, which is unfortunate, is that PlayStation will always be where they go. Even if a game is, like, dying out, like Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite had kind of went south pretty quick. But you can find, you have a better chance of finding people on PlayStation more than, like, Xbox or PC. And it's like, but it's like, if you put them together, it's easier to find people. And that's the same issue that, well, I want to say, hard to say if it's an issue, because, like, Guilty Gear Strive is about to come out next month. It's going to be on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and PC. But it's not going to have crossplay at the start. Arc System Games did mention there's something they wanted to look into, but it would take time. Now we know why. And it's like, so it's going to make it harder for, you know, for people to play together. And if it's games that's, like, you know, smaller, you know, not as, you know, big as, like, Call of Duty and all that, but just has a smaller player base, it helps them play the games even, you know, longer. Yeah. Because people, especially when it comes to, like, games that people really like fighting games, people will keep playing those for a long time as long as there's people to play with and the online is good. Like, that's why you still, like, if you look at people still play, like, old games to this day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, from the 90s, if it has good online. So to keep everyone together is good for the communities, but Sony is more so looking at it to know, okay, but how does it affect them? They want more people to buy it on theirs, especially day one. I can't say I'm surprised with that, because Sony is kind of, in a way, has always kind of been a dick ever since PlayStation 2 era.
Honestly.
When you really think about it and how they were to, like, devs at the time, like, imagine, like, they're trying to release a game when they're like, yo, figure that out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of like that. And then PS3 came around and they screwed up on that one.
Yeah, they dropped the ball.
Almost the entire time. And then PlayStation 4, they got it right. And now they're kind of just being, like, the same way. So it's kind of like, I don't know. They're looking at it more from, okay, money. And unfortunately, they make a lot. And they financially, they don't have to. That's the thing that sucks. Financially, they don't. It would be good for us, the player base. But people are going to play on PlayStation anyway.
Yeah.
They have been. So they don't have much of an incentive to change, and it comes down to, like, developers, and they're not going to want to just release, you know, okay, just leave Sony out completely, because that may, you know, ruin the relationship with that.
Right.
That's one thing I did appreciate about the Power Rangers Battle for the Grid, because they eventually did do crossplay, and originally when they first did it, I think for, like, the first month or so, it wasn't on PlayStation because PlayStation didn't want it. They're like, okay, we're just going to put it on these. Which I would hope the rest of them do. Like, if Sony, they're not going to, but I will hope that if Sony's not on board, screw them. Put it on everything else.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to also add, like, because every system basically has their own, like, pay for online play. It's just, like, think about it this way. If you have cross-platform and cross-play, like, people who want to do, you know, couch, like, play on their couch, basically, is how I always see as consoles. It's like, sometimes I'm just like, I want to just sit on my couch or lay on my couch and play some games. So, like, I will be more inclined to pay for your service for me to play online if I can play with, like, all my friends. But if I can only play with a certain group, I'm probably not going to be buying your service. I'm really going to just be playing my single player games, which is fine. But, like, if you want people to buy your service or anything, especially that you have it, more people are going to be inclined to do that if you have crossplay, I feel. Like, yeah. If you want more money, like, that's going to be how you get it, not through having people pay just to even have a cross-platform, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think it's just going to be better and very probably true. Smarter for them to think of it as that way, where it's just like, you will get money. People right. still give you money no matter what, but people are going to be more inclined to, like, give you money if I can play, like you said, even, like, fighting games. I buy my fighting games on PlayStation because, I don't know, I feel like I don't know how to play it on my PC, too, and I don't have Xbox yet. But it's just, like, I would like to play with other people, but, like, sometimes the lobbies are, like, only good the day one sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well.
Well.
Why don't we move on to a topic that Pants brought us? Pants, do you want to present that?
Yes. So I am a lover of the Yakuza games, and the studios also announced Lost Judgment, so the second Judgment game, and they also said that Yakuza, as it keeps going, is going to stay as turn-based, as we saw in Like a Dragon, which I absolutely loved. I love the turn-based aspect that they brought in, and then also Judgment is going to stay as that action base that we've seen before. So it's really exciting. I really want to talk about just, like, the aspect of, like, the turn base. I don't know if everybody's played it, but, like, I really like that they brought that in. And it was, like, it fit with the characters. But I also read before, like, they already knew that they wanted to do turn base before they even created Ichi. Who, like, the whole aspect of him was just like, oh, I love Dragon Quest and, like, all these turn-based things. So it, like, made sense because he was, like, already, like, this person who loved it, and he was just like, you know, it was kind of like his imagination sometimes with the fights. And I just loved the aspect because it's just like it added a new flavor. It gave you, like, some party members, which was really interesting, and, like, the series is already, like, so fun and so campy that it was just like adding this extra aspect and being like, oh, now I can actually do, like, more RPG elements into this, and it's not just like a beat 'em up, which I still love, but it gives you, like, some more aspects. It kind of makes it a little bit, I feel like, a little bit more accessible for people. I don't know, like, I love beat 'em ups and stuff, but, like, sometimes I feel like just having, like, the turn base also helps. And then also because they've introduced, like, they've done for Judgment is now also having English voice acting too. On top of that, I think has also helped the series a lot more. I still do, like, the Japanese voices just because I'm used to it, but, like, it's really nice that they've been, like, expanding and they've been trying some new things and getting, like, more people into this game series, because now they have both options for you if you're looking for something that's more more action-based and everything. Then you have that if you want something that's, like, turn-based, that you have that too, and it still has, like, the same elements as all the other Yakuza games. It's just like, hey, now we're gonna just keep doing turn-based gaming onto this because it worked, and it worked really well.
Yeah. I've never played any of the Yakuza games before, but I feel like if I was going to, I would want to start with, like, a Dragon, because, like, I tend to really like turn-based RPGs. And, like, I've heard so many good things about that game, so I think I actually, like, might want to start with that one, as long as I wouldn't be too confused, like, narratively.
I will definitely say you won't, because it's, like, it's a whole new story, too, which is really nice. Yeah. So they added, like, whole new characters. It's still kind of in the same kind of world, but still new characters and everything, so you don't have to know anything beforehand. And, like, honestly, I've had, like, debates, well, not debates, but I've talked about it with my friends a couple times who are also really into it, and we've always been just like a Dragon is really good. Like, I feel like I love the characters a little bit more because they got to, like, really work on that, and then also the turn base is just, like, so much fun. Like, I get to have a woman in my party too, and, like, it's just, like, all these, like, always has been, like, a great group of just, like, misfits almost, but like now I get to have like a woman who gets to like smack people around, and she's already like great in general too, and like now I have like a party of four, and it feels like dungeon crawler sometimes, and I'm like, this is so much fun, and it still has the same fun like elements.
I love that. Yeah, I like that they're like keeping the same style for judgment too, for like people who still want that and like still want to play a game that's like that. So I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, I
immediately kind of thought of like me and my partner Sturbrew, because like Sturbrew has like 100 hours in Judgment. He's like obsessed with that game. So I know he's gonna be super excited when Lost Judgment comes out.
Yes.
And like I can be playing like the turn-based one.
Right? That'll be a cute moment.
Yeah.
It'd be adorable. And speaking of Judgment too, like I think the story was like, from what it seemed, was like you're kind of like going undercover at a high school or something. And I was like, this is giving me like 21 Jump Street kind of vibe. Like, I'm just going to be like, hello, my fellow kids, with my skateboard and like trying to ollies.
Not this.
Which they actually did show too. Like, you actually get to do skateboarding. That was like, well, I'm sold here.
Yes.
Because you add that aspect, I'm here for it.
Oh my God. That's going to be so fun.
Yes.
That's awesome. I wonder if they saw like a gap in the market as far as like AAA turn-based RPGs, because everything is turning into action-based. So I wonder if they were like, what, 6-7 games into the series? They were probably like, let's change it around with like a dragon. And then they saw how well it was received. So, and I'm sure they weren't just going to throw away this turn-based system that they created. But I wonder if they had conversations of like, do we continue a spin-off series that is turn-based if it doesn't get like super well received, or do we transition it into the main one? And because it got received so well, they're like, well, let's just transition that into the main one and have our spin-off be for like the old school fans, with that fighting style or gameplay style. So I think that's cute. I definitely think that's super cute. And I'm not gonna lie, I feel like they probably gained a lot of new fans with Yakuza Like a Dragon, because it's not a numbered series, and I feel like with so many games, there's just a lot of, like, there's still people to this day who haven't gotten into Final Fantasy, for example, because they're like, oh, they're already on, like, the 16th game is gonna come out, like, oh, I feel like I have so much to catch up on, and they don't know that each game is a separate entity, and they don't have to, like, that's not their problem, that's, you know, that's on the companies to market their games in a way where, you know, they make it clear that their game is for everyone and anyone. But with Yakuza, I can see that being a thing where like, oh, it's on their sixth game. Ooh, I see a lot of games that I need to get to before I get there. So let me not. Yeah. Instead, they were like, hey, here's a new protagonist and a new gameplay style. Is that something you're into? And people were like, yeah.
It's a smart move. It's a very smart move.
Absolutely. Also, there's only so much you can say about this one character. So it makes sense that they would wrap up a story about this main character and then get a new protagonist and then continue from there. I think it makes perfect sense for them to do that. I'm definitely intrigued about Like a Dragon. I definitely want to play that at some point. Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure. I haven't gotten to Like a Dragon yet. I'm still trying to go through this series. So I've played 0, 1, 2, 3, and I'm on 4. And I mean, personally, I like the more action. I like it being more active, more than turn-based. So I haven't played Like a Dragon yet to see how I feel about it. But I mean, if that's the way that they want to go about it, I wouldn't have an issue with it, you know, so far until I play it myself. As for Judgment, I have not played it. They don't have it on PC. It's on Stadia. That don't count. And was it Lost Judgment? As of right now, they don't have a plan to bring that to PC. So Sega has broken my heart again.
Not this.
It's like I have to get through the rest of them anyway. As for Like a Dragon, I think that making the change was, I mean, it was definitely a good one. Because the thing is, while it's not it's not numbered over here. In Japan, it's actually still called Yakuza 7. So they just don't care if they changed it, because you don't have to play the other games. There's going to be certain, you know, Easter eggs and things like that, but it's like you don't have to, because yeah, going through all these games takes a lot of time. I mean, you can just go through them, but then there's the side missions, and yeah, that takes hours. Like in three, you kind of have to, because they block a lot in that game, so you need to like level up. Oh my goodness.
Well,
so I think them starting with a fresh one with this one is a pretty good idea, because it makes it to where new people can get into it. It's in English. Some people don't care to read subtitles. A new style for people who may like that. And then if you do like the older action style, then there's another series that's with that. And it's good to see that they're going to keep, you know, making another one of that. So it's not like it wasn't just a one and done. So, I mean, I don't know. So far, they're just, you know, doing just pretty good. And it's good to see the series, you know, doing well, because a lot of people didn't play it before. I was one of them. And I'm very upset still at my friends for not telling me on how great the series was. So I'm glad I kind of waited. I'm glad I waited to play Zero. Like, I honestly would have definitely preferred to play Zero before One. Like, I'm like, I wouldn't change that for anything, because it just made understanding the relationships between One and then the ending, it just, I understood it more, and it just felt like it had more weight than just going in with One and then being like, so why is he like this? Why are they this close? And you go back to play Zero, I'm like, oh. And got then you get to the end, like, this is actually breaking my heart.
Oh, Zero is so good. It's still my favorite for the series.
Oh, it is. Like, the thing is, it draws you in so hard. And I'm like, the side stuff, but this story is like, oh, this is good. This is really good.
That's awesome. That's so awesome when you play a game like that.
Right.
And like we just said, like, I'm just really excited, because I feel like a lot of my friends and a lot of people, like, acquaintances and everything, have just gotten into, like, a Dragon, because it's just like, oh, now, like we said, you don't have to, like, go through the whole story. But now it also kind of, like, has brought more people on, now that they're like, oh, I really liked Like a Dragon, I kind of want to check out the rest of the series. And now that they've been putting those on PC, which I'm like, thank God, but like, it, Like a Dragon was on PC, but like, come on, put Judgment on there too. I'm glad that they've like at least slowly started putting that onto PC as well. I'm just really excited. I've loved the series. I'm really excited to see what they are going to keep doing, and they're making the right choices here. And it's been nice, because I know at first a lot of people were like, turn-based in my Yakuza game when they announced it. And then like people saw it more and we were like, oh, wait, like, this is actually really cool. Then once you play it, you're like, oh, this actually works really well together.
Yeah. That was like big brain marketing on their part. Absolutely. Because like Yakuza fans were like, oh, this is just a spinoff, I guess. You know, I'll give it a chance. And then they fell in love with it and they were like... Got you. Little did you know, this was actually a sequel, but we renamed it here to trick y'all, which I love. I think that was a very big brain marketing move on their end, and it worked, obviously. So props to Sega for that. That's amazing how they pulled that off. Speaking of games that we're loving and we're enjoying, let's like quickly go down the line and talk about what games we've been playing these days and such. So we can start with GM over on top, and then we go down the line.
Resident Evil 8.
Ooh.
What system are you playing on?
Xbox.
Iconic. Ooh. How far into it are you? Tell us everything. We need to know.
Not that far. It's beautiful, though. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Everyone should play it. I love it. I love it. I love it. That's it.
Yeah. I love that.
I love it. I'm about to buy it later. I'm like, I'm still debating on what I want to buy it on so far. But I've been like, oh, I want to try it. Because I was like, oh, the haptics on PS5. But then I've been like, but PC, I can mod.
Oh, yeah. And that's that.
And you can probably get it, like, on sale somewhere. I'm sure there's a website that's not selling it at full price, too. So
you can get it for, like, $50 right now on, like, Green Man Gaming and whatnot. So,
ooh. Yeah.
Ooh. I love that.
Suddenly.
Suddenly we all have the game. What about you, Kogo?
So of course I've been playing Dokkan Battle. Yes. Just keeping it short on this one. Golden Week Celebration, been pretty good. Probably the best in the game so far. They released a bunch of new units and they're like all good. As in across the board, they're just good. The global version handled it weirdly because it's a joint celebration with JP and global. And JP, there's like, okay, this is what's happening. This is the announcements of what's coming. Global didn't really do that. And like they made an announcement on Twitter like 2 hours after the units arrived in the game. And they said upcoming units. They were like, they've been out for 2 hours. And then there's like a bunch of other stuff that was supposed to be coming out for the event. And for the longest time, until literally yesterday, we thought we weren't even getting some of it because they just didn't announce it until like, all right, so in the end, we ended up getting everything, but they just announced it weirdly. And it's kind of like, I don't know who their social person is, but they need to fix that. But overall, but at least besides that, it turned out to be good overall. And then it's Goku Day, which is actually technically tomorrow. They start in that celebration, which is in joint with it. So on global, it's been, Dokkan has honestly been kind of bad this year, but it's starting to just really pick up because we're behind JP, of course. And JP has been on like absolute fire since the beginning of this year. So we're getting to that point starting now and then like next month when the anniversary is. I've been playing also Sound Voltex. They, for Golden Week, they had two of their song packs on sale. That was 50% off. Not the rest of them, unfortunately. So I'll do about $60 for 60 songs, which isn't that bad. I have to go through all of them. And then supposed to be getting 20 more this month. So I'm still going through that. I've been going on and off a few things because, of course, you know, I have, you know, this Oculus thing here.
Yes.
So I downloaded this program called Vorpex. Vorpex allows you to play PC games in VR. Now, unfortunately, some people learn the hard way. This doesn't work well with every game. It would be obvious, but people didn't. You have to pay $40 for it, unfortunately. But I like was able to get like Fear, like that old game that came out like 2005, working on it. Oh my God. It's pretty scary. It works pretty well. I know it works for okay with Resident Evil 7, but some update ruined that. And then we get to the part that has me waiting to why I haven't played Resident Evil Village yet. So someone actually managed with the demo to get it working a little bit. For some reason on PC, they didn't put like a field of view slider in. So there's a mod for that now. So I'm just waiting a little bit to see if they can make it at least decent. It's probably not going to be like the best thing ever because it's not going to be as great as like a native VR game. But from my experience, like with Fear, they managed to do it with that, and it's like, yeah, it feels like you're there, like there's depth, so it's not like a screen. But as of right now, they're probably working on that for Village, so I'm gonna wait a little bit to see, maybe, because I'm still upset that there's no VR version of that game for some reason.
Right I would love to see, you know, Miss Tall Lady over here just stomping after me in VR.
You just like look up.
Yes, please, and thank you.
I want to wait because, like I said, my first experience with Resident Evil 7 was in VR, and it was just like such an amazing experience. And it's like, you can't get that again playing, going through the game, and then, okay, I'm gonna put on VR. It's not the same.
Yeah.
So I'll prefer if possible, but who knows? Because again, it doesn't natively support it. So it could be wonky. Like I tried with Resident Evil 7 and like it doesn't, when I've tried the analog, it doesn't go up and down. I have to probably like tinker with it a little bit, but there's certain things that are kind of off, but it's not terrible. But I have to like fix things here and there. But that's mostly what I've done for the majority of the week, is just mess around with that. And unfortunately, also learned that my VR legs need work because I tried Fear for like a half hour. And I'm like, okay, my tum-tum is starting to feel a little bit woozy. It's time to turn this off for a little bit.
Yeah. The tum-tum.
The tum-tum.
The motion sickness will get Gotcha.
And how about you, Pants? What have you been into?
Oh my goodness. So I've been still playing some Nier Replicant because I want to take my time with it. Yes. It's one of my favorite game series ever, and I'm really excited because I played Gestalt, which was just named Nier before here. So there was just two versions to give a rundown really quick. There was Papa Nier, as we call him, which was the one that we got only here. And then they have Brother Nier, which is Replicant, because they were like, you know what the... You know what the West needs? They love their father-daughter. They love their, like, big, burly men, which is true. But but they're like... Yeah, it was like, checks out. But they're like, the West is going to love this. Because at first it was just going to be Brother Nier. And both are still great. So I've been, like, slowly taking my time on that. I finally got to part two. But it's been really nice to relive everything and also see the new changes that they've been having, which... has been really nice. They've been kind of alluding to their other games, especially Drakengard, which is like, we wouldn't have Nier or Automata without Drakengard, to be honest. So it's been really nice to do that. And then my other favorite has been, I've been trying to get everybody into it slowly, but I've been playing a lot of Identity 5, which is a mobile game, but also you can play on PC. And it's like DBD, but way cuter.
Ooh.
Yes, it's got the kind of Coraline aesthetic. So, like, a lot of the survivors, there's 30 of them. There's going to be 31 because one is coming out in when season 16, right? Season 16 starts. And they all have, like, the cute little button eyes. Like, aww. Coraline. They're very much, like look like stuffed characters almost, because they have sometimes a little bit of the stuffing coming out and everything. Oh. But it's really cute because instead of, like, you know, getting hooked or anything, you get, like, put on a chair.
Oh.
And then if you've been, like, chaired too much, it, like, rockets off.
I'm in love with that.
I kind of love and, that, like,
there's a lot of, like, diversity in it, too, with, like, at least different skin tones. They've also been showing, like, a lot of different able-bodied and everything, too. So there's, like, a character who's who uses a wheelchair. I love her. She's my favorite. She's one of the hunters, and she's the best, ooh, honestly. So
I download now.
And it's free to play. You can play on your PC. And they're actually gonna do, they've been doing a lot of collabs with it too. So it, I think at the end of the month they're gonna do a Death Note collab, and I'm really excited for that. Yes, because I believe the Chinese version got Detective Conan, and they're like kind of teasing it over in, you know, North America, but they were just like, oh, just kidding, like, it's gonna still stay there, so I guess we get we get Death Note, which is like, I mean, I'm not mad about it. I love it. I want to run around as L and shout at my teammates, and I'm like, don't move, I'm coming, as they're like on the chair. But it's really cute, and it's got such cute little, you know, aesthetics too and everything, like, and they've definitely pull from, like, different cultures sometimes too, and, like, also, like, like, real life people too, so you can actually, like, read up on, like, some of the people in a way, like, not fully, like, taken from it, but it is kind of like, oh, like, hey, we got, like, inspiration from, like, this real life icon, like, literally Bloody Mary is there, and it's like, oh. We got her, she is a queen. Well. Literally, but, like, yeah, it's really cool. I love it. It's been my favorite. I play it almost nearly every day because ranking always starts at like 7 p.m. Eastern, and I'm like there. Yes. Trying to do some ranking, and then sometimes they just, like, because of I know there's like a character's birthday, and they'll do like cute little things where it's just like, oh, happy birthday this character, like, happy, aww, character day, and like, oh, play some rounds with like this character, and they'll let them be free if you don't have them, which you can just use like in-game currency and stuff, and it's really cute. And they just had their esports, oh, which was, I didn't expect to be so intense. It was fun to watch. They have to play on mobile, which was wild to watch.
Oh.
Interesting.
Oh my god, it was so funny to see, like, because sometimes they're on webcam or like some of them were actually there, and it was like actually in a big stadium and they had dancing in the beginning, and I was like, iconic.
I love that. I think you've succeeded in selling this game to us, honestly.
Yeah,
I'm
so happy. Just giving Ting's Identity 5 stream win, like,
honestly, probably.
Ooh, that would be cute.
I will keep selling it. I'll just say that they have, as an ending thing, they have also like a lot of cute game modes in it. So there's not just like the typical like 4v1 and everybody's running around just doing like, they have the ciphers instead. They have dual hunters, which is wild. So you can have two hunters, 8 survivors. They have a running mode, which is actually going to end soon, I believe. But it's actually like, you just like are running on a map and you get to do, I think it's like 2 laps and you're just running, and you have like, you can get items to like sabotage other people too, or like help you kind of get in the lead. So there's like that kind of fun mode. They have tarot, which is one of my favorites. It's 4v4. One person's the hunter. They're like the knight. And they're trying to get the other team's king, which is like one of their survivors. And then there's 2 squires who are like trying to help and make sure like the hunter doesn't get the king. So it's like a lot of fun and a lot of screen. Right? And then there's blackjack, which I have not really played because it seems a little too much, but it is.
Love that.
It's kind of cute. It's literally just blackjack, but I think you choose like a survivor and you have like a hunter in case it like chooses you as a hunter. And the only thing is like, oh, if you finish a cipher, I think you get a card. And like, if the hunter knocks you down though, like they can like swap cards with you. And then it's like, oh, if you go over 21, you know, then you're just knocked out of the game. So it seems a lot of, it seems really intense, but I was like, oh, that's cute that they've been trying to like add all these cute little game modes in that people can play.
Right. I'm like, Dead by Daylight. I hope she's shaking and quaking over there, because she has like 2 or 3 whole game modes and they're basically the same. I haven't really, my gaming experiences haven't been that exciting. I've been up to some First Class Trouble, which is always a blast, always super chaotic. I may or may not have played with Pants before, and it's always a moment. I adore that game. It's so chaotic and so fun. It's basically like Among Us, but set in the 50s and more chaotic and cuter, in my opinion, because the 50s aesthetic, so cute. Other than that, I haven't really been doing a lot of gaming, but I did celebrate my birthday over this past week on Animal Crossing. It was so cute. Turns out, you know, only the villagers you have a closest relationship with you will throw a surprise party, which threw me. And then I went after Pietro and I was like, what's up with that? And Pietro was like, well, you haven't spoken to me in a while, clown. And I was like, you're right. So he still gave me a gift, but turns out Pietro dragged me on my birthday. And I say thank you, honestly. What about you, Spin? What have you been up to?
Oh my God. This week has been just so busy for me because, like, I had my second COVID vaccine and I like had a big launch in my shop and I was just like, ooh. So I do all kinds of stuff. Not that many gaming things outside of stream, but on stream, I've been playing Final Fantasy 13, and last night I did a stream of it and it was action packed. Like,
right.
We did like 2 big bosses and made a ton of progress. And I was like at a point where I'd like kind of overleveled, so we were zooming and I was just like, we are experiencing this story.
Oh, we zooming.
We're zooming.
Going to Baskin Robbins.
We are going straight to Baskin Robbins, no detours. I'm really having a lot of fun with that. Like, I've played Final Fantasy 13 like a ton. I've played it several times. But I've like loved experiencing it with everyone and like being able to share it with everyone, because like I feel like 13 is like really polarizing, and like being somebody who actually likes 13 is interesting. Like I get to like kind of show people the magic of 13 that they may not have let themselves see,
right?
Because of public opinion about it. But it's been so fun. And I've gotten to a point where I'm gonna have to do quite a bit of grinding for next Final Fantasy 13 stream. So
10 more hours of grinding and then a lot of zooming.
It'll be better this time because I don't have to go back and forth through a door for 10 hours like I did last time. That was a
we hate to see
this journey.
We hate to see it. But since you're already talking about streaming, where can people find you and do all that fun stuff?
Oh my god. You can see me grinding for 10 hours on Final Fantasy 13. don't worry, the grinding's not on stream. But you can watch that playthrough at twitch.tv/spinblend. I'm also spinblend on Twitter and TikTok. And I also have a soap shop called Spin Soap Cafe. The aforementioned big launch I just released was a coffee-scented body butter. So that's been fun. That's been fun to like kind of branch out into non-soap products, and I want to kind of do more of that in the future.
Iconic behavior.
That was last week. The rest of May is just so jam-packed for me. Literally next Friday, like less than a week from now, I'm going to be having my like VTuber debut and also like my drag debut.
Yeah, 2-in-1, honey.
2-in-1. That's going to be the debut of Lin Blend. We're going to be playing the Famicom Detective Club release for Switch. That's going to be on the 14th. And then the last week of the month, I'm going to be part of a big fundraiser for Project Hope to help with the COVID-19 crisis in India.
Iconic.
Love
that. What about you, Ruby?
You can find me everywhere at Project Ruby. All my links are projectruby.eu, my little website. You can find my latest YouTube video on there. You can find my Twitch streams if happen to be live. All the ways you can support me, all of that fun stuff. I stream like 3 times a week. I'm getting very close to the end of Final Fantasy VII Remake, so we're gonna be experiencing that on stream, so that should be fun. As well as like some indies and some new releases that if I happen to snatch a code here and there for, I always do my first impressions. So teehee. What about you, Pants? Where can people find you? All your links and such.
Yes, you can find me at Pants Trabian on Twitch, Twitter, and TikTok. I have been thinking about starting a YouTube, but I'm not sure yet. But I'm definitely most active on the Twitter as well. I stream a variety of games. Next week is going to be iffy because I'm getting my second shot Wednesday. So who knows how that's going to go. But on stream, we've been doing Identity 5, Nier Replicate, and also like occasionally Demon Souls, but that's like once in a month, it feels, because I just get so jittery after like finishing a boss. I'm like, the adrenaline is like going through the roof and I'm like shaking. So I'm like, I cannot play this too often.
Right.
But we're slowly going through that and it's been a fun time. But yes, iconic. How about you? Yes. Oh, sorry.
Koga was just vibing.
Where can we find you?
You can find me here on Twitch and Twitter at Koga_Jangles. I'm going to be coming back to streaming this upcoming week. I've had a very weird week, to say the least. I wanted to do 8, but I'm trying to hold off to wait. So I didn't do the DLC to 7. So I kind of wanted to do that. I've also been trying to set up like to do VR, not when I'm sitting but standing, so I had to like get that set up with some weird mic that's actually kind of trash, but see, because I do want to play Five Nights at Freddy's VR. I never completed that, and hopefully the game doesn't give me a whole heart attack even when I know when things are coming. But I'm not sure about tomorrow because tomorrow's Mother's Day and my mom wants to do something. So I may hold off on doing like Sega Saturn Sunday, bringing that back tomorrow. But I should be back Monday or Tuesday. And probably playing Resident Evil 7, but not 100% sure, but probably. It depends. Maybe Sound Vortex, depending, because I still got to go through all these songs. I have a lot of games to play, okay? I'm sorry.
Listen, the backlog.
It is big. It's real. It's always real.
Always right. Real.
And how about you, Jam?
You can find me on Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at jam_5899, where I'm just out and about clowning, talking about, you know, anything from video games to drag race to anti-capitalism, you know, just living my life as a Black queer man in America. So,
yes.
You know. We should hopefully be finally actually getting a return to streaming because the semester is finally done and I don't have to be there 5 million hours a day anymore.
Yeah.
So the hope is that I will put out my schedule, but it will most likely be Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we'll be playing Cuphead and talking about science, probably making presentations for my thesis project constantly. And we're going to get there.
Yeah.
We're going to do it. We're going to have fun.
We're all going to have
fun. I'm so ready.
It's going to be great. Yes. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. Once again, we're live every Saturday for the podcast, and you can listen to and watch it later, either the next day or Monday. Y'all can call us out. Listen, sometimes it's Sunday and we forget.
Remembering things is hard.
Sometimes we forget to upload. It's fine. Everything's fine. But it will be out eventually. We can't upload it the same day because we're Twitch affiliates. So if you do want to check us out on Twitch, we are at Just Gaming Things. We do some gaming streams, and we also do this podcast every Saturday. Like I just said, y'all, let's go grab some food. Let's go have an amazing week. And bye, everyone. Love you.
Bye. Thanks for joining us.